Welcome to In Our Mom's Basement Video Game Podcast, where we talk about everything video games with your host, Dan Giofue and Rage Quit Pat.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to In Our Mom's Basement Podcast, episode 61. Today we have a special spooky podcast episode today. We have two guests joining us today, but first, let you guys know where you can listen to this episode. If you get to go on innermomsbasement.com to podcast, you can listen to on any podcast platform, Google Play, and so on and so forth. I am one of your esteemed hosts, Rage Quit Pat, and of course, I am joined by the pizza man himself, Dan the Pizza Man. Dan, how are you, my friend?
Doing good. Almost Friday. Almost time for the new console launches, so hanging in there.
Absolutely. We're only a couple weeks away from the new consoles, guys. If you are getting them, drop that in the chat. Let us know. But tonight, it's not about the consoles tonight. Tonight, it is all about our esteemed guests here today. Let's introduce them. We have a part-time horror content creator and full-time Leviathan leader of the Sinners crew. Dillinger Banks is a new era streamer. In high school, he was voted most likely to end up in a police lineup, but at least he has great hair. Welcome, Dillinger Banks, to the Man Cave. How are you, sir?
I am doing excellent, my dudes. How's everybody doing?
We are doing great. Let's introduce our other guest as well, Master Moderator and the brains behind Dillinger's stream. We've only seen her hand, and we're not entirely sure she has a body, but she helps keep several streamers running smoothly. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome our first ever Twitch moderator into the Man Cave, Batty Page. How are we doing, Batty Page? How are you?
Doing great. How's everybody doing? How's chat? How's everybody? Hello? I see Ra.
We are doing good. How are you guys doing? Welcome. It's been a while since we had two guests on in the Man Cave here. So how are you guys? Dillinger, you just came off a stream. How was stream? Batty, how was modding? How was everything today?
Stream was good, man. Stream was actually a really, really fun time. So, today we were playing Tattletale, and I toward the end of stream, I realized something very, very, you know, unique about that game. And actually not just about that game, but about a lot of these horror games in general. So have you guys seen, and I was saying this at the end of my stream, have you guys seen the movie, It Follows?
Yes.
Yes.
So, you know, there's that concept, right? There's the, all right, you got to pass it from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. I'm realizing that now, especially as horror games get more and more fucking terrifying, it quickly becomes the It Follows of gaming, right? So Haley Dawn, another awesome, you know, friend and streamer on the platform, she's like, hey, guys, you guys should, you know, Batty, get Dillinger to play Tattletale. So Batty gifted it to me. I played it. And then at the end of my stream, we got raided by our friend Taylor Jade. I'm like, hey, Taylor Jade, you got to play this now because this game will terrify the shit out of you. So it was honestly, it was a really good time. Now, you know, Batty on the back end, I'm sure she was pulling her hair out.
It was a lot of fun. I love when chat is really busy. I love when there's a lot of clips to get. I love when you get scared. It makes for such good content. So that's what I love about being a mod, is like keeping chat going, making sure that chat is having fun.
That's awesome to hear. And we actually got some really good and funny questions. Not too many troll questions. I promised not too many troll questions today.
I'm here for the troll.
You're going to have, well, let's see. Dan the Pizza Man, I believe, has the first question. Dan, what do we got for?
Yeah, so I guess this question is kind of geared towards both of you guys. Well, when do you guys start getting into gaming?
So, Batty. I mean, you, by all means, Batty, go first.
Well, honestly, I didn't get into gaming until like I met Dillinger, to be perfectly honest with you. I was more of a spectator with games. And then, you know, we used to work together when we met 10 years ago, and we bonded over BioShock. And that became like the basis of our love, of my love for gaming, and, you know, basically how him and I kind of got to become friends.
Yep. So for
great
me
game as well, great game.
Oh, yeah, BioShock is so good. For me, I don't remember the exact age. I remember being young, and it was around Christmas time, and we got the Nintendo, the NES, right? Super Mario Brothers 2. And I remember back in those days, it wasn't just plug and play shit, right? Do you guys remember the little, like, it was obviously the RCA plugs, but then there was also these weird little, like, U-shaped, Y-shaped things that you had to screw into the back of a TV.
Yes, the I forget what
that?
I used to call them adapters.
Shit. Yeah. Whatever the hell that shit was, right? Yeah. So back in Channel those three. Days. Yeah, see, y'all feel me. So my dad and my uncle actually spent the entire day trying to hook up this Nintendo to our TV. And then by the time it was done, my dad and my uncle spent the rest of the night playing Super Mario Brothers on our brand new console. And my brother and I had to go to sleep fucking basically crying ourselves to sleep because my dad and my uncle refused to let us fucking play Super Mario Brothers. But the next day we got to play. I'm the youngest brother, so of course I got stuck with Luigi all the time. But that's when I was like, all right, gaming is for me.
I always love playing Luigi.
Freaking unplugged controller as well.
I'm pretty sure I play Luigi a lot too.
But I mean, you know, the Luigi always goes to the younger brother. Everybody wants to be Mario. Nobody wants to be Luigi.
I was very I kind of like grew like a thing for like a, you know, like I was tall, I was skinny, and I was like, oh, Luigi's me. I always want to play Luigi. For some reason, I just never really grasped towards. I mean, I love Mario, don't get me wrong, but I always gravitated towards Luigi. And when I was like playing like Mario Kart, Mario Party, the Mario Tennis games, I always gravitated, always picking Luigi all the time. I don't know why. I guess because I was just tall and skinny. And yeah. So was he.
Oh, man. For me, I was always pissed. I was always salty as shit because I'm like, why the fuck do I always got to be fucking Luigi? Everybody, it's Super Mario. His name is fucking Mario.
Oh, God.
Fucking play bullshit Luigi Mario.
Oh, no. Fuck that movie.
The fucking movie. Well, man, actually, I like that movie, so.
No, you okay. Moving on, after saying that you like that trash-ass movie, I don't know how we can continue on there.
I don't think I can continue. No, I'm just kidding.
But we have a second part to that question. Dan, we have a second part to that question.
I guess this one is for you, Dill. When did you start streaming?
So I actually started, I wasn't kidding in that intro. Like when I started recently, I started August 13th of this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was very, very fortunate, to kind of have a strong start. I've been incredibly fortunate. I say this almost all the time on my stream. I don't know what I did in a past life that was right, that you know, got me, you know, to the point where I have a community that wants to support me, but I'm incredibly grateful for it. But I did actually take almost a full calendar year before I started to stream.
Okay. So. Well, I mean, yeah, that's great success, man. Congrats on that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, thank you. And I spent a year studying, learning, yeah, researching, doing all the homework and everything like that before the camera ever even turned on. So
were there certain streamers that you kind of meant like that was your mentor a little bit? Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she's actually in the chat right now. So Reanimate Her, Ra, as everybody refers to her. I'm not kidding when I call her the patron saint of streamers. At like everything that you see, you know, me do, not my theme and stuff like that, because there's no way you can teach people how to be who they're gonna be, right? But in terms of, you know, eye contact with the camera and you know, audio quality issues, all that kind of stuff, all the hey, this is how you become a streamer, Ra was and is still my actual mentor. But I did also look at other people as well, you know, and this was back in the days when we were on Mixer, Art by Galen, Metro Birdman, Dragon Slayer, Gamer Sass has really good audio and video quality. So I looked at a bunch of people. Haley Dawn has really good audio and video stuff. So I looked at a bunch of people that I, at that time, I'm like, oh, I'm just a viewer and I want to be part of their communities. And I really, really enjoy these people. But I was busy taking notes for almost a year. Like it was literally almost a year to the day from the time I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stream until I actually went live. But I was taking notes. I'm like, okay, you know, posture, icon, all that good stuff. But Ra is definitely 100% the number one person that I've learned the absolute most from.
Yeah, and Ra is also has been a resident guest as well. And then she is, yes, very 100% do enjoy watching her streams. Awesome. And I just, at the time when I first watched her, I saw her on the Mixer partner page and there was horror. And I was like, oh my God. somebody's not fucking playing Fortnite. I got to go in here. But it was a, you know, great experience. As a big horror fan myself, I really enjoyed the content and everything like that. Yeah. We have a question for Batty. Dan, what is the question we have for Batty Page?
You know, when did you start modding? How do you like it? Do you enjoy it?
So I started modding for a couple of other streamers before I started modding for Dillinger. My first real mod job was with Metro Birdman. So that taught me a lot. I was not his head mod. He has an amazing head mod, but it taught me a lot about modding. And then a serial killer, he approached me to be one of his mods as well. And Reanimator also, she had been wanting me to be one of her mods for a while, but it didn't work for me for my work schedule, but I was able to become one of her Discord moderators, instead, cause that's kind of like, I can be on the computer not having to mod while I'm at work. And then, you know, since, when Dillinger started in August, it was kind of a no brainer to be his mod.
She's but lying. I had to bribe her. I was like,
no more, no more. I mod for too many people. No more. but it's an amazing experience. I love it because I'm not a social person, but modding, it does kind of force me to be social and get out of my shell and just interact with people. And in that sense, I've met a lot of wonderful, wonderful people that I've gotten closer to outside of modding, because, you know, when you're a mod, you have to like keep chat going, you have to ask people questions, you have to keep the chat engaged, especially if the streamer is, you know, distracted playing a game. So it's kind of your job to be the backbone of that. So I've become friends with a lot of great people that, you know, we follow up our conversations in Discord and we play games together off stream, and it's great. I mean, there's definitely some challenges, and it can be stressful because there's a lot to it. But overall, it's a positive experience, and I really enjoy it.
That's awesome to hear. This is why we wanted to get a busy moderator on the podcast, because we don't really hear too much about the Twitch moderators and kind of what's going into that. So I think it'd be great for our listeners and people that are watching us live right now to kind of hear what kind of goes into modding, because, you know, like an offensive line in the NFL, you know, we trying to show love to the hardworking Twitch moderators out there as well. I have a question. This question is for both of you. Both know you guys love horror. What was the first horror game that you guys have played? And what's your favorite series?
I don't play horror games. I'm a fucking weenie. I like horror movies, but I don't really play horror games. I guess the only horror games I kind of play is Friday the 13th and DVD. I just kind of watch Dillinger play and poop his pants.
Hold on.
I also play Phasmophobia.
That is slander. I will sue you. No. Yeah, and that's so obviously because I, you know, Batty and I have been together, or I have known each other for 10 years. And we've been together for 4 now, like married rather for 4.
Excuse you. You're getting the dates wrong, but that's fine.
Wait, no. What are you talking about?
We've been married for 4, but we've been together for longer than that.
I know. God. That's why I corrected myself and I said we've known each other for 10, been married for 4. At any rate, this is that dynamic. So, so I know all the answers that she's gonna drop. That's why I'm like, yeah, go right ahead. But the first horror game I can remember playing was Resident Evil 2 on the PS1 in those days. That for me, I remember being up, and in those days, do you guys remember like the Prima text guides?
100%. Oh, yes. I love the Prima guide.
Yep. Dude, the Prima, I remember I got, it was for my birthday. I got the PS1. I got the Resident Evil 2 game. I got the little memory card. That's right, kids. We used to have to put our games on memory cards. Dude, yeah, and oh my god, if you had like a 2 megabyte card, you were fucking king shit, right?
Yeah.
And I had the Prima guide, and I remember staying up, especially during summer and Christmas break, and I would be terrified of that fucking game. It would like legitimately scare the ever living shit out of me. And then I never looked back from that point. So in terms of horror game franchise, I think it would have to be the Resident Evil stuff.
Yeah, Resident Evil is also definitely one of mine. Yeah, from, you know, even though it's had a lot of misses a couple years ago, but now definitely back on track with RE7. Then we had the RE2 remake, the 3 remake, and now we're getting Village. So.
Village? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That definitely Village is going to be just sick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Definitely has a supernatural type feel, and with the zombie werewolves, which is very interesting. And I'm interested to see what they're doing with Chris Redfield, because in the trailer, he's coming off as a villain. So I'm really interested in seeing and how Ethan's story is progressing, because I didn't think we'd see him as a protagonist again in the series.
Right.
But it seems like he's going to be a mainstay at this point, unlike the other characters like Billy Cohen from Resident Evil Zero, who was fucking one and done. And then what's her name in RE5? I can't even forgot her name because it really wasn't that fucking memorable. So
I definitely think that the Resident Evil series is going in a good direction now. I think that they got away from a lot of that kind of convoluted bullshit that they were doing. And they're, I don't care what anybody says, man.
The Michael Bay Resident Evil 6 game.
Oh my God. No, dude. Now they're giving us movies, right? They're giving us these long, drawn out fucking stories that are just absolutely amazing. I actually have yet to go back and finish Resident Evil 7. It was one of those games that I was saving for when I started to stream. And then in the span of like literally 2 months, I saw like 3 or 4 people beat it. So now I got to give it a little bit more time, but those games are beautiful. They play wonderfully.
Yeah, and I mean, an RE2 remake, I don't know how you felt about it, but definitely for me, the PS1 version was always my favorite. But when the remake came out, it trumps over that.
Oh, it's beautiful. It plays beautiful. It looks I actually just beat Claire's story like 2 days ago.
It's honestly, for me, that's how a remake should be made. Like, it was a full remake. It wasn't like... did you ever play Resident Evil for the GameCube?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So what they did from the PS1 version to the GameCube version, it was pretty much the same game. They added some different enemies and things like that. But all in all, it was more of the same. But RE2 was a complete like change, overhaul, and everything. Like, it was phenomenal. And even the third game, too. Whenever you get to the third game, same thing. But 2 was definitely better out of the remakes that they just recently did. Question for Batty. When did you decide that you wanted to mod? Were you, you know, just, is it something that you, when you, let's say you were watching a streamer and you kind of saw people kind of in control of the chat, when did you decide ultimately that you wanted to get into modding?
I kind of like fell into it. Dillinger became a mod for Reanimator like 8 months ago. Something like that, almost. Yeah, okay, like that. About that time, and I was like, "Oh man, that's freaking cool!" Like, I love her channel. I love the dynamic between like the chat, and like I love, you know, the mods are just, you know, they're on it. They're talking a lot, and they're communicating with the community. And Raw has like a really good relationship with all the mods. And I saw that on the outside of, you know, being his spouse. You know, I wasn't a mod for her at the time, but Metro kind of approached me like, hey, we're looking for mods. Do you want to be a mod? Because I don't remember exactly how it went, but I think I had expressed like, hey, you know, this could be cool. So this was about like 6 months ago, something like that. So I became a mod for him. And then gaining that experience, I decided, hey, holy shit, this is kind of fun. I like, you know, helping the streamer grow and, you know, handling chat and helping with their exposure and all that stuff. So I decided, hey, I can do this. You know, it's not just handling chat. It's so much more than that, but it's cool. And, you know, I think I'm pretty good at it. Dillinger hasn't fired me yet, so I think I'm okay.
Yeah, you're on thin ice, so
we'll have to get some feedback also from Reanimator and Serial how their modding is doing. But Dillinger, by his reaction, seems that you're on the cusp here.
I could just serve him with some divorce papers, and he can take the one dog You could take Decker. I'll keep Cash.
No, bullshit. I call dibs on the good dog.
No. It's on the internet now.
I'll what fucking kind of dogs, see you in court.
What kind of dogs you guys have?
One we is have a Boston Terrier. The other one is a Whippet Boxer mix.
Mm-hmm.
I had a boxer too. They're good dogs to handle.
Yeah, I mean they can be a little bit rough, you know, at times because they've got more toughness than they do brains. So she's cost us a shitload of money, but
oh yeah. Boy,
she's a good girl.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dillinger, question for you. Mm-hmm. So, what got you into horror content creation as well as talking like Tony Montana?
So,
actually, can we get a little preview? Just the one quick sentence with the Tony Montana.
Okay, man. I'm not exactly sure what it is that you need me to answer to you, man, but this is what ends up happening over on my channel, okay? So if this is the kind of shit that you're into, man, I'm your guy. If you like the spookies and the cocaine, I'm going to put it all together, man. Spookane. Spooky and cocaine. Anyway, I've always loved horror. Even since I was little, I remember being terrified by Child's Play. I watched The Exorcist maybe at about like 11 or 12, somewhere around there. So I've loved horror for a really, really long time. And for a really long time, I think that there's a misconception out there that a lot of people have. All I knew about streams, right, was the first person shooter. We all know the big names. I'm not going to sit here and throw anybody under the bus or nothing like that. We all know who the fuck they are. I highly suspect that one of these big name streamers did not, in fact, pass medical school. I'm not naming names, but I was under the impression, right, like a lot of other people, that the only kind of streamer that is out there that makes it is the person who is, you know, shooting shit. And I like first-person shooters. I'm not very good at first-person shooters, especially because people kind of, you know, my age and whatnot, we grew up with story-based games more, right? We grew up with, you know, your Resident Evils and your Crash Bandicoots, and it was all by yourself. So first-person shooters are cool, whatever. And then it wasn't actually until I saw Raw. Congratulations. Welcome. This is going to basically become the We Love Raw podcast. Raw was the first person that I had seen on Mixer, which is where I was at before we came over here to Twitch. She was the first person I had ever seen that was doing not first person shooter, you know, fucking neon laser beams shooting out of fucking everywhere streams, and nothing wrong with it. I'm not throwing shade to anybody
breaking
who
down buildings and building buildings. I said breaking down buildings and building them to fucking shoot people.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I'm not throwing shade to anybody. That's just not the kind of content creator or streamer that I felt drawn to. They work just as hard as anybody else. Don't get me wrong. And yeah, you like laser beams and you got a logo of a fucking alligator shooting fucking M80s out of its ass and laser beams out its fucking eyes. That's cool. These people work just as hard, but I had a hard time feeling connected to those people because that's not the kind of stuff that I personally really favor. And then I saw Raw doing it was an impromptu charity stream, and her title said something about horror, and I caught a glimpse of her background, and I see a couple masks there. I'm like, and I say this every time, I say it with love, Ra, but I caught the title after that. I'm like, who the fuck is this bitch? What the hell does she know about horror? So I go into her fucking channel, right? Because up to that point, I had seen horror streamers or people who liked horror, and these were males and females. But they didn't play shit for horror. They didn't do shit for horror. And if I walked in there and I'm like, oh, cool, there's somebody like me, like, hey, what's your favorite horror movie? Or what, you know, who do you think would win in a fight between such and such and so and so? And then they looked at me like I was a fucking asshole for asking that. I'm like, all right, cool, fuck me, right? You say you're a horror person, but I ask you a simple question and now I'm the douchebag. But then, so I walked into Ra's stream and I'm sitting there and she starts talking about horror and I see her collection. And she starts spitting facts and all this other kind of crazy shit, and all of her audio is themed, and
everything was like horror. I'm like, okay, this lady's fucking legit. And then I just never left. So then that was the first time that I had actually personally seen that horror as content creation was a viable option. There was a space for us in the world of streaming, and it didn't all need to be fucking laser beams.
What's funny also about that, kind of piggybacking off that, was almost kind of like I said before, the same way I discovered Ra. She was on the Mixer front page, and she was doing a streaming lesson, like how to be a good streamer and stuff. But I saw her background a little bit, and it was like horror. So I'm like, you know what? I had the same issues. I would go into streamers and that were playing like a horror game. I'm like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they just be like, oh, this is the first time I'm ever playing this. I'm like, what the fuck? And you're sitting here saying you're a Resident Evil fan. I'm like, okay. Yep. So I went in, and I was more memorized by her background with the Michael Myers masks and all those fucking masks.
Yep.
More than what she was talking about.
I agree with you.
At first, I'm like, holy shit, these masks are fucking awesome.
Yep.
And then I kind of zoned in on what she was talking about. And then I was like, okay, she knows horror. I mean, I love the horror community. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't look like I'm a big horror person, but I fucking love horror. I will always go down and say it, that the horror community is probably my favorite community in any community that exists in the world, because everyone is always so welcoming. And, you know, we talk shit to each other, but it's funny. You know, we talk shit to each other with love.
Yes.
That's basically how I describe, like, you know, I might like a shitty horror movie. You might like a shitty horror movie and we'll bust our balls about it, but it's all love, you know, like, you know, you guys like Exorcist 2. I don't like Exorcist.
You son of a bitch. I will fucking jump through this goddamn camera and I will fucking jump through it feet first. But no, you're right though. Like I've found that the horror community is a rabid one, right? Like we love what we love. To level 10, we're very not in between kind of people. Something is either great and I love it forever and ever and ever, or it's fucking garbage and you're wrong for liking it, and we can all fight with one another, and that's okay. And again, you know, all the other streamers that I saw, you know, the more traditional esports, laser beams, all that kind of shit, they still work just as hard. I want to make sure that I get that abundantly clear, because I know somebody's gonna be like, oh, well, killing your bet. No, shut the fuck up.
No, absolutely.
The first person, the esports people, they work just as hard as anybody else, but it was hard to make that connection on a kind of like a more personal level, because I'm like, well, what the fuck? I don't do esports. But the second, because I'm with you, I saw those masks and I saw the figures and I saw the Camp Crystal Lake sign, and I'm like, huh. So I popped in there, and then just the second she started talking, and she also says some of the wildest shit I've ever heard anybody say on any platform up to that point. She says some crazy wild shit.
Yeah, it's definitely when we played Jackbox, definitely was probably one of my favorite Jackbox moments. Yep. Playing that.
What's funny is if you can believe it, she's even wilder off stream.
Yes,
we've played some games with her off stream, and she can't even say that.
Well,
shit.
I won't even say the movie that we watched during movie night, but that was fucking wild. That movie that we watched was
Tuesday?
That one Tuesday. It was with the poultry geist, I think.
Poultry geist. Yes.
That was fucking wild. Oh my god!
All right, so. Really quick, we do have a question for Betty, but real quick, we're just going to take a short break just for our sponsors. And we're back. Betty, so tell us some of your favorite moments as a mod. Any fun troll stories?
You know what? There's not that many troll stories, but there's a lot of streamers who, you know, they don't want to see the troll stuff, so you just kind of delete and move on. But there are some people that I know, like Reanimator, like Serial Killer, like Dillinger Banks, who I currently mod for, all those people, they like to play with their food. So when there's a troll in chat, it gets really funny. You know, obviously if it's like racist or sexist, homophobic, anything that's against terms of service for Twitch, you know, you delete and move on. But if it's something like you're fat or like just something really ignorant, then, I don't know if Reanimator does, but I know that Serial Killer and Dillinger Banks both have a special troll command that alerts them when a troll is in chat so they can, you know, I kind of tells them like, hey, there's a douche, pay attention, there's a douche in chat, do your thing. And it is just so fucking funny to hear them go off on these trolls. And it basically, they never, ever chat again. Like, we don't even have to ban them as mods because, like, they never want to chat again. That's how some people deal with trolls, and I'm here for it. Other than that, some of my favorite moments are just, you know, the jump scares. I love modding for horror content creators because of that jump scare factor. You know, obviously, you know, Dillinger is hilarious, and he seems like a mean dude with the, he's got very expressive eyebrows, he's got the tattoos, he's got the vest on, you think that he's, you know, super, you know, super mean and tough, but you get him on some of those games, man, and he screams like a little bitch, and it's really, really fun.
Yeah, we've seen him. We seen him hunting ghosts.
Yeah, we've seen him. We hunt a ghost with him. He wouldn't come inside. And if he did, he died.
It's also hilarious to watch a serial killer who's this big, you know, bearded Italian dude who just, you know, every other word is fuck in his stream, and, you know, he drinks a lot, and but he was, you know, you watch him play Outlast or whatever, and he gets scared like a fucking bitch, and it is, that's so rewarding. It makes everything worth it.
You know, actually, to that end, what's funny is it seems like the like taller, the more body mass and tattoos you have, the more you scream, because if you look at Ra, right, especially if she has her hair down and whatnot, and she doesn't have all of her vampire makeup and whatnot, you just figure like, oh yeah, she's just a regular, you know, person. Nothing scares her. I'm fucking convinced that she was created in some kind of a horror, like Dr. Frankenstein's secret laboratory. Nothing scares her. However, if some, pay attention to her, right? You know, she, out of the three of us, you know, she's the one that screams the least, gets startled the least. But if something actually scares her, that's a game I do not want to play unless I fucking build up the courage for it, because that shit will traumatize the ever living Christ out of me.
Yeah, it's true. Honestly, it's the ladies who don't get as scared, and it's the big old burly dudes who get the shit scared out of them.
The one game I would recommend for Ra to play, if it wasn't so rare and expensive, I would say Fatal Frame.
God, I love Fatal Frame.
I will definitely like to test Ra in that, because Fatal Frame is, that's a scary fucking game to play.
I agree.
So definitely would like to test Ra in that one, because fuck, Phasmophobia, those fucking ghosts ain't got shit on those fucking ghosts in Fatal Frame.
I agree. I agree with you.
Fuck those motherfuckers.
Oh, God,
if I could just add one thing that I just remembered about, like, one of the most rewarding things about being a mod, it's just, you know, if you're a mod for a certain person over time, you get to see them grow. You get to see them make stream improvements. You get to see, you know, their stuff moving towards the better, and you get to see their chat being more busy, and you just get to see the fruits of their labor. And that, to me, like, that's awesome. That, like, with Dillinger, I'm his head mod, so I get to see things behind the scenes more so than with other people. But, and I can see, like, these are your numbers, you know, these are how many people you had in chat. You had a great stream today. You had a not so great stream today. But just seeing that over time, it's, there's things just start to get better and better for everybody that I mod for. That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, that is awesome to see. And like I said, hopefully maybe one day Dillinger, Serial, or Ra will be on that Twitch ad, and they'll be like, you know, I want to thank Batty Page, you know, really good mod, great mod.
Only Dillinger will thank me for that, because Ra's got some amazing mods, and
Serial's got some good mods. You're taking me to court.
You know what? We can save that for another day. That's for another podcast.
I think we have one. Yep.
No, I thought we lost you. We cut out.
No, I'm right here.
All right. So another one for you, Betty. Here. What's the difference between a Mixer troll and a Twitch troll?
You know, Mixer had a lot less auto mod stuff. Like if on Twitch, there's a lot more stuff that you can get caught and by, like, if you have auto mods set up, that'll get caught a lot more quickly. The mod view in Twitch is just like amazing. It's something that we didn't have on Mixer, and it's so much easier to deal with people, like timing them out or banning them with Mixer. It was easier for them to kind of like go through the cracks, especially if chat was going really fast, because you didn't have those resources like auto mod or like the Twitch mod view. That's a freaking godsend. But Mixer blueberries, those are the worst. I don't see anything like that. I haven't really seen anything like that on Twitch. I mean, obviously there's trolls on Twitch, but I haven't seen anything as bad as like a Mixer blueberry, to be perfectly honest with you. And I don't know, Dill, as a streamer or as a mod for Reanimator, you can attest to that.
So everybody back when Mixer was a thing, right? Everybody wanted to be like, oh, well, you know, it's a sense of community and blah, blah, blah. Look, I'm not saying that it wasn't a more tight-knit community, but let's not fucking blow smoke up anybody's ass and call it a gentle breeze. Mixer had just as many mods proportionally as Twitch does, right? There were just fewer people on Mixer, so fewer, trolls. More people on Twitch, more trolls. But I will say that the Mixer troll was a lot more creative in how they tried to troll. They tried to get in there and like they would try to talk to you a little bit, like to the streamer. And this comes from my experience modding for Raw. They pop in with a normal name, you know, like, you know, Jack Ryan, 1545, whatever the fuck his name is. And, you know, and then they're like, hey, what's up? Yeah, hey, I'm new here. I love horror. And then that's when they'd start dropping all kinds of TOS breaking shit, right? You know, all the words you're not supposed to, and harassing, and, you know, hey, show me your tits and suck my blah, 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 all this fucking bullshit. And so they would play a slightly longer con, which on the other hand, they just fucking go right for it. They skip all the foreplay and they make their name something fucking terrible, to try to see if the streamer will miss and say it. And the other day, I was modding for Raw, and somebody came in with the username Ligma Balls. And you know, they do. They skip the foreplay. They're like, ha-ha, I'm totally going to be awesome. I'm going to make her say Ligma Balls. Right, because a fucking grown woman with two kids and a fucking kick-ass husband has never had a fucking pair of balls in her mouth. Get the fuck out of here, dude. And wow. Raw legitimately fucking stopped what she was doing. And she's like, really? Ligma? Like, you have to hide the word or the phrase lick my balls as Ligma? Like, just say lick my fucking balls. And it was great. I love seeing when streamers, they don't lose their mind, but instead they take control of the situation. Like, who gives a shit? Ooh, lick my balls. Congratulations. Like, you know, so Twitch streamers are less creative and they go right for it. Mixer streamers, they played the long con. But either way, it's always fun to play with them.
I think that it's a little bit of both, because as a mod, I've seen like the long con, or like people, they'll be like, hey, oh my God, I love your horror room or whatever. And then they'll just start to not make sense in their chatting. So I'll be like, hey, what do you mean by, I don't know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but like I'll have to ask them for clarification, or they'll just start saying like stuff that is completely out of left field or completely out of context, or they'll just be like saying like the worst things, like, oh, my mom died, and then my dad died, and then my family died, and then like I have, you know, I'm gonna kill myself, just it's out of nowhere stuff that we kind of have to deal with.
I mean, the speaking of Mixer blueberries, I mean, they were one of a kind, though. I mean, they would pop in, you get the hi,
yeah,
then you would get, is this for Xbox?
Oh God!
then you would get the can I play, and then you would get no, and then they would get, then yep, then the trolling will begin. They'd get the fuck you, they'll throw something racist, they'll call you ugly. You know, they were
invite me.
They were a rare breed that rest in peace, Mixer Blueberries, you will forever be missed. But I haven't encountered I remember when Mixer closed and there was like streamers going on and like, you know, talking about how much they love about Mixer, but the Blueberries were just going in, like they were just fucking like just swinging for the fences. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't care if they got banned. They were just trying to hit home runs with the trolling. It was insane. That was probably one of the worst trolling like I've ever seen in like someone's stream, was when people like were legit upset about Mixer closing and the trolls were just firing like cannons going off. Like it was crazy. Dillinger, question for you. You wore a mask before, it was cool. Was this always something you wanted to do when you were streaming? Wear a mask?
So yes and no, right? So because of what I do as a day job, it first kind of started off as okay, I can have a little bit more anonymity and be kind of cool that way. And it was also a little bit of a hook, so to speak, right? Because obviously I have a theme that I go with and the whole deal. My logo has the same, you know, bandana and whatnot. So I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I'll make this a thing. And as much as people don't like to say or think of it and, oh, I'm really me and blah, 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 blah. And you get all these people that show up on stream talking about, man, I am me, but there's nothing wrong with being yourself and adding a little sprinkle of theatrics, right? You know, if you're asking somebody to sit there and give you 1 minute, let alone 4 hours of their life, you got to fucking entertain them. So the mask was kind of a way to both keep myself a little bit more anonymous, especially because of my day job, and then add an extra layer of something interesting to look at, something fun. You know, today is the Zodiac Killer mask. Tomorrow might be something else. I've got a bunch of these, and it was something else visually for people to kind of maybe start up a conversation and get people talking.
Down the road, let's say years down the road, are we ever going to get a, like a Kane, like what happened with Kane, the big reveal, like the mask comes off. Are we ever going to get,
my first or second stream, I actually said this, when I get to 1,000 followers, it'll come off. Whether it's permanently coming off, I don't know. You know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. And, you know, if I'm being perfectly honest, the idea there is I'm like, okay, I approach streaming as a hobbyist because I have a day job. I don't have the ability to make this a full-time job, but I approach it with the aspirations of a hobbyist and the work ethic of a full-time creator. So I take everything that I do very seriously, production value, all that good stuff. So whether it'll stay off the whole deal, but my thinking was if I hit 1,000 followers, theoretically, hopefully if I'm working hard and people see the merit in what I'm doing, they'll want to stick around and I'll hopefully have some decent concurrent viewership and whatnot. And it's not just going to be me revealing my face to Batty. She's already seen it. She actually tells me to put the mask back on. But it's a lot easier to tell people 1,000 followers than explain, well, when I hit X number of concurrent viewers like that. So it's just easier to say 1,000, but now whether it'll stay off permanently, who knows?
I also want to say something to the chat as well for our live chat. If you guys have any questions for Dillinger and Batty, we are taking questions as well. So feel free to drop, some questions in the chat if you guys have any. Question for you both here. Why do you guys love Jaws 4 so much? Like, why is that your favorite movie?
Well, because after you fucking wouldn't stop harassing me via email, text messages, phone calls, and just mailing copies of Jaws 4 to my house, I was like, okay, fine, I'll watch it. Rage. I'll fucking watch the damn thing. And then I watched it and I realized everything that you were saying in your thesis that you wrote up explaining the intricacies of Jaws 4, it was accurate.
I knew it. I knew you loved Jaws 4.
Listen, really quickly before, I'll let Batty answer and then I'll let everyone know why Jaws 4 is such a masterpiece. Well, but I'll let Batty answer really quickly.
For me, it was more that you paid me under the table to say that it was the best. So, you know, that's my answer.
It was only $100. It wasn't a lot.
That's more $100 more than I had for Jaws 4. That's a freaking steal.
But the reason why Jaws 4 was so good is because Michael Caine, I believe, won an Oscar, and he did not get the award because he was filming a phenomenal movie. He's like, you know what? Fuck that award. I'm filming such a masterpiece of a shark movie that I could give a fuck less about that award. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and no, I'm sorry. I'm gonna let you finish, right? But Deep Blue Sea was the best shark film ever. Don't fuck listen, with me. Don't at me, bro.
Listen. Trolling aside, Deep Blue Sea is a phenomenal shark movie.
No.
It's I'm not trolling.
Definitely not.
What? Deep Blue Sea is superior. Deep Blue Sea is... Wait a minute. You actually do not like Deep Blue Sea? All trolling aside.
No, okay. All trolling aside, there's certain aspects. I can sit down. I can watch it. It's not something that I will go and like legitimately be like, you know what I feel like watching today? I feel like watching Deep Blue Sea. Now, if we're talking, I'm in the mood for a shark movie, I'll pick Jaws before Deep Blue Sea any day of the week.
Oh, well, of course. Oh, no, absolutely.
If we're talking Jaws 4 versus Deep Blue Sea, I'm going Deep Blue Sea. I just have a really big issue with LL Cool J.
What? You didn't like the Deepest Bluest?
My hat is like a shark spin. Get the fuck out of here, dude.
What a great song.
That's not really like, no.
Dude. He's everything that I wanted in a man, but I got Dillinger instead.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sorry. I have my hair. I can make it a shark spin.
And also, Thomas Jane had the Punisher in it as well.
So, Cool J, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Deep Blue Sea is probably my second favorite shark movie. There really isn't that many, but it's my favorite. I mean, it's up there, man. Like, the only thing that threw me off with the movie was, like, the sharks were smart. And, yes. Like, you got these fucking sharks, like, that are smart.
The taking the fucking SATs.
Yeah, basically, yeah. But the kills are great. I mean, I like the kills. Samuel Jackson's brutal kill was great. But yeah, I mean, I think we should watch.
I can agree with a lot. You know, trolling aside, I can agree with a lot of that. There's just some things that just, they stick out to me like a fucking sore thumb. Again, brilliant sharks. And I also remember, what do you call it? The fucking Deepest Bluest song, right?
Great song.
No.
Yes.
That song was everywhere that year. So I heard that song over and over and over again. And I'm willing to bet that subconsciously it affected my ability to fully appreciate that movie later on in life.
I think it was always number one on TRL, too, on MTV, if you watched MTV back in the day. I think it was always number one as well, too.
Yes.
Deepest Bluest, my hat is like a shark fin.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Listen, you know what? We're going to save this conversation for Tuesday.
Day. Yep,
we're saving it for another day. But we'll make that announcement when the podcast is over. We're really excited about that and looking forward to that as well, because that's when we're really going to get at each other's throats for horror movies. So, you know, we'll really get at each other's throats. Today, it's all about you guys. You know, we appreciate you taking the time out and joining us. You know, thank you guys again. I want to hear about your tattoos. You know, I have tattoos. You know, I'd like to, kind of hear about your tattoos a little bit too.
So Batty is actually very tattooed. Batty, I don't know if you want to talk about it. I know you guys have only ever seen her hand.
I have a tramp stamp of Jaws for the Revenge.
Okay, perfect. See, already greatest tattoo of all time.
Yeah, she's so, actually working on an LL Cool J. My hat is like a shark's fin chess piece.
Yes.
There we go. Perfect. You should get my hat is like a shark's fin on the on your belly to kind of complete the.
Oh, so on my left arm, I have a whole bunch of Harry Potter stuff because I just love Harry Potter. And I have a bird with a in front of like a cathedral window for Edgar Allan Poe with a skull on it. have some flowers. I have a bunch of floral shit. Tarot card guy. Bunch more flowers. I have a goat skull. And I have a tattoo on my leg of my cat who passed away as Freddy Krueger with a little hat and little claws. So that's it's Kitty awesome. Krueger. Yeah, he's fucking cute. And I also have a portrait of Elizabeth Bathory. And I'm currently working on a portrait of Angelique from Hellraiser 4. Horrible movie. Great. Cenobite.
Yes.
Was that the one in space? Hellraiser 4?
Yes.
Hellraiser 4.
That's the one in space. Modern day time then, and then space. Old France.
Yeah.
Fucking so, space, man.
I have a bunch, but I'm, you know, won't stop until I'm completely covered.
Yeah. And as far as I go, you know, I started getting tattooed at about 17. My mom signed for it and whatnot, and it was a good time. And honestly, everything that you like see is like nautical, but kind of a little bit bent. It's hard to see this one right here, but this one's actually based off of a Sailor Jerry girl. It's a zombie Sailor Jerry girl eating a brain ice cream cone. And then all this is just Halloween related and jack-o'-lantern and all that kind of stuff. I really wish that there was like a cooler explanation. Like my right leg has, oh dear, Pinhead, Vlad the Impaler, Reagan from The Exorcist, a Predator head, and the cover for the Creep from The Creep Show. I wish that there was like a better explanation for everything, and I've gotten that over the years. And they're like, oh, but what does this mean? What does that mean? I'm like, it just kind of looks cool. I, like 100% of my tattoos are there because I'm like, it kind of just looks cool. I mean, it's a chopped off Predator head. I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah, fuck it, right? I mean, yeah. Shit. I mean,
do I need more of an explanation for that? I don't know.
Yeah, no. I mean, I've seen a couple from what that I have seen. They look really cool. I mean, tattoos are definitely a great art and also very addicting. You get one and you want fucking 20 more.
But see, yeah. I went into it knowing that I wanted to be heavily tattooed. So even from 17, I'm like, okay, I want to look like a fucking delinquent.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't get a tattoo when I was 17 because I had a horrible idea. So I'm very happy I waited.
Yeah, no.
Very happy I waited till I was 20 because when I was 17, it was just, I would probably fucking regret it and gotten covered up.
It doesn't matter. Everybody's first tattoo is bad, no matter how long you wait.
I'm surprised you didn't get a SpongeBob tattoo.
Could be very soon. Who knows?
Well, I mean, at 17, we would have done what Mrs. Gothic is out here saying, that, you know, gotten a fucking Jason Takes Manhattan tattoo.
What a phenomenal movie that was.
You should.
I will die on that hill that everybody's first tattoo sucks.
And you know, Rage, you fucking catch me on Tuesday. How about that?
All right, I will. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun.
You know, we got a few more questions here before we end the podcast. We're almost just about out of mark. But before we get into the final questions, I don't think we asked what your favorite horror movie is. You know, you and Betty.
Betty, go ahead.
The one I can think of off the top of my head is Suspiria, 1977 version. I could watch that movie day or night. I love everything about it. I love the colors. I love the music. I actually, when we got married, I walked down the aisle to the theme song of that movie. Love it. To me, it's like one of the most perfect movies of all time. So that's my answer if I had to just choose one.
That's a good answer.
I'm going The Exorcist, 1973, all the way.
Oh, all right. That's also a good one. Pat won't watch it. He's scared.
I watch that movie literally at least twice a month.
Exorcist was really good. It's not my favorite horror movie, but Exorcist definitely was a transcender, whatever the fuck up you want to call it. But it was, I loved Exorcist.
We watch it all the time. We watch it like you said, like twice a month. We've seen it probably about 400 times in the time that I've known Dillinger.
Yes.
All right. Well, Pat, how about you, buddy?
For me, it's The Thing, easily. I fucking with Kurt Russell, fucking when I first saw that movie, I was a kid. Just like, besides the thing itself, just the claustrophobia, they're in fucking Antarctica. It's like below freezing. And the ideas that you don't know who to trust kind of got to you. Like, you're watching the whole movie, like, who the fuck is human? Who the hell is this fucking creature? And it was just very unsettling. And the practical effects are phenomenal. I do hate watching the dog scene, but, you know, but one of my favorite scenes is when Kurt Russell's like testing the blood and the one blood comes out positive and the fucking guy's just like legit, like just fucking shaking in the chair. And everyone's like, fucking untie me, untie me.
No,
like,
that's a good choice. It really is.
Dan, what about yours?
I gotta say one of my favorite movies is, you know, it's more of a not that long ago movie, but Trick or Treat is probably one of my favorites. And then, of course, the original Halloween movie, 78. It's also a really good one, but Trick or Treat is still my number one.
That's fair.
We love Trick or Treat. We watch it every year.
Yeah. Trick or Treat is absolutely excellent.
It's great.
And I guess my last question is going to be for Betty. So, Betty, we like to usually ask streamers this question, but, you know, we'll kind of juice it up for you because, you know, we want to know more about the mod life. What's the best advice you could give a person who would want to be a mod?
A few things. Be patient. Communication is key with the streamer, especially if you're a head mod. Have a really good open line of communication. Be able to interpret what they want out of their stream and out of their community and out of their brands. Help them with their vision, because even if, like, I'm not a creative person, Dillinger is the creative brains behind this whole operation, but sometimes us talking together will trigger something in his brain that is like an amazing idea, in my opinion. So even if you don't have those strengths, just keeping that open line of communication may trigger something in the creative person's brain that will just become something cool. Also, be on top of chat. If you're not talkative, if you're not on top of chat, then you're doing something wrong as a mod, because one of the main things to keep in mind about being a mod is keeping chat clean, keeping the conversation going between the streamer and the community, and getting to know the community, and being able to look out for trolls, and, you know, just keeping things going. So if you can't do that, or if you can't stick to a schedule and communicate, you know, hey, this is not going to work for me, then don't be a mod. But it's super rewarding if you can be a mod. It's a fun time. It's great to watch the streamer grow. It's great to, you know, see the streamer learn new things and implement new ideas and just, you know, just get better every time. And it's awesome. So if you want to be a mod, go for it. Just be aware that even, you know, you are, doing this for free, but it's still a responsibility. You know, it's still something that you signed up for. Nobody is twisting your arm to be there, but also don't be a fucking dick and not show up if you don't want to fucking be there. You know, have a common courtesy to communicate with the streamer. And if there are other mods, have good communication with them. It's especially a big deal if you're a head mod. Talk to your other community members. Talk to the other mods, because if the other mods don't know what's going on, then there's a problem, you know? So communication, that's the number one thing about being a mod.
That's great. You're our first mod to join our podcast, and it's really nice to hear, you know, your point of view from everything and how it all works, you know. And, you know, when we do air this, you know, of course, I'm going to clip this, and, you know, we're going to let all the mods out there know how it is and what they should be doing, learning from Betty. And
honestly, for what it's worth, you don't need a mod. And I know that sounds dick, right? You don't need a mod to be a successful streamer or anything like that. However, the second you choose to have a mod, just remember that person is an extension of you. I learned that both from Ra and from my own experience. So, you know, Ra has always said, and I know that now more than ever, a mod can make or break you. So make sure that you're not just adding mods just to add mods. Like, this person is an integral part of what it is that you're creating.
Yeah, that's really great advice. You know, Penn and I don't have, mods yet, because we haven't really had the need of it. But when we do eventually get one, we're going to put a lot of thought into who we're going to want. And then the last question of the night is for you, Dill. What's the best advice that you can give a new streamer or small streamer to really get going or learn the ropes?
Honestly, it's because I myself am still a small streamer and a new streamer, right? But I think the biggest thing is what I mentioned earlier, which is you can still be you. You can still be 100% and keep it real and all that kind of stuff. But there's nothing wrong with viewing what you do on your stream as a performance. Meaning, I'm still me, but I clearly don't wear this shit, right? Like, when the camera's off and whatnot, the vest comes off and I'm still me. But remember that if you're asking people to make an investment of time into you and what you're doing, give them something to want to, watch and engage with and whatnot. If you're going to sit there quietly, if you're not going to talk to the people who are stopping by, stop to think about somebody else could be grabbing a pizza, watching a movie, whatever the case may be, but instead they're in your channel trying to talk to you. Value that. Be yourself. Value the people that come by and see you, because they are what matter, not you. Your community is what matters. And honestly, don't be afraid to take chances. Come up with a theme. What interests you? Who gives a shit if Apex is the big game that everybody's watching right now? Play what you want to play. Rob beat that message into our head. And it's true. Play what you want to play. Take chances. Have fun with what you're doing and value your community above everything else. Yeah. Be authentic. Be you. But a little showmanship goes a long way.
Awesome. Awesome. Great advice. And we always like, even small or big, we always like to hear different perspectives from every streamer. And then, as Dan said too, Batty's our first mod. So, we definitely would love, great to hear her feedback as well, what's going into a mod as well. So, again, thank you guys for that awesome, advice for other streamers out there. And us ourselves, Dan and I, we also love hearing the advice from other streamers as well, because we are streamers as well. So we love to hear every streamer's feedback and everything like that. And maybe Dan and I want to become mods, and we just got some great advice from Batty Page as well. So, thank you guys.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm available anytime to chat. I love chatting with people. I've had the opportunity to chat with a couple of people who are looking to add mods to their streams and like kind of what they were looking for or what they should be looking for. So, I've learned from the best. So, it's not me. It's a community of people learning from each other and teaching each other and passing that information forward. So feel free to ask, I'm just a Discord message away.
Awesome. I want to thank you guys. Want to thank Dillinger and Batty for taking their time out to join us here on episode 61 of the Spooky Cast. Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it. If you guys want to listen to the audio version, if you go to innermomsbasement.com, and you can listen to on all podcast platforms, iTunes, Google, Spotify, Pandora. We have a bunch. So again, Dilly, Batty, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you guys taking the time out to join us. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. No, very much appreciate it.
Fun, and I'm looking forward to Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, Tuesday, we are doing a very special panel, the Scream Warriors panel on the Inner Mom's Basement channel. It'll be me. It'll be Dillinger, Dan the Pizza Man. Reanimator is going to be joining us, and Serial Killer, I believe, will be joining us later because I know he's working. But that'll be at 5 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to be just bullshitting horror movies, horror games, horror TV shows, whatever, everything horror. We picked the badass horror content creators on Twitch, 5 p.m. Eastern time, Tuesday. Make sure you guys are there. We also want to hear your love for horror as well in the chat. And again, thank you guys. I am Rage Quit Pat. That is Dan the Pizza Man, Dillinger, Batty. Thank you guys so much, and take care. And we'll chat in Discord, and I'm sure we'll be playing some Faz very soon as well.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you guys. Thanks again. It was awesome being here.
Yeah, thank you for the podcast. It was lovely chatting with you guys.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Yep.
You too.
You've just listened to the In Our Mom's Basement, a video game podcast with your hosts, Dan Geoffwe and Rage Quit Pat. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play. See you in the next episode.